Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for Stitchers. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Always. As always, when we get together, sponsored by the Sassy Jack Stitchery, we are. So we're off and running on Hannah Longstrath, but you can still get in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Though we are trotting along quite well, I have to say.
Yeah, not as good as somebody that's our. Did you look on one of the Facebook?
How do these people do this?
I was like, holy smoke.
Oh, man, it's demoralizing how these people just fly through these things.
So you saw it, too, on Facebook, that one.
Yeah. Jeez.
I was like, are you crazy? That was crazy.
I mean, I'm impressed, but I'm also it's just demoralizing. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. So you can still get to Hannah Longstrath and join us for that. We'll be a while. Some won't, but we'll be a while. Royal Garden coming up July 5. So you can still get your kit there from Kim at Sassy Jack's, 15% off. Then be sure and check out the Elizabeth Cooper Jesus Wept. And then free shipping. So take advantage of that. And then you're doing the learning stitches thing. That's Kim is really starting to put up some videos for that. That's looking like it's really geared up. Huh?
Yeah, I'm very behind.
Are you?
Yeah,
that's shocking.
Am I doing it? I guess, kinda, sorta. But no, yeah, I was right caught up, and then she's been doing video, and so now I'm like not caught up. So
yeah, I think she had some technical issues with the videos, and now she looks like hasn't figured out, and so she's got her wound up.
So
I'm sure you can join that. Still join that. Because I don't think there was a start, but then it got dragged out a little bit. So you can do that, and they're all videos, so there's, you can catch up. But do check that out. That looks like a good program there, the Learning Stitches program.
Mm-hmm.
And she has that on her website. And then if you join in Facebook, join the Sassy Jack Stitchery Facebook group. And that's a real good way to keep up. Not only with what people are doing, but also the videos and comments and so on. So that's, but anyway, you can get involved. It looks like a really good program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if nothing else, that book that comes with it's worth owning just for itself.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, check it out, sassyjackstitchery.com. Always appreciate the support. We do. So this is Wednesday. So last night we had our Tuesday quarantine stitch hour, and then we'll be back again Thursday because we're Tuesday, Thursday now with a quarantine stitch hour, and then Friday night live. So Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday we're live on the YouTube channel, and that's wetalkfiber.com/YouTube will get you there. But the best thing, as I've said a gazillion times, is to just subscribe and check the bell that gives you all the notices, and then you get notified. I've been checking it, and Marga's been checking it. You get a notification a half hour before we're going to start with a link. So, and then we start the thing 5 minutes beforehand with some music so that, you can get in there, get notification, and it officially starts then according to the software. And then, 5 minutes early so that when we start right at 8 o'clock Eastern time, then, everything is in order. And that seems to have solved. Some people were having trouble, and that seems to have solved that. So, yes. Yes. So join us for those. They're fun. We have a lot of fun with those.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was my dryer. Sorry, I forgot about that.
The socks are dry. All right. Excellent. Now you just need a kid to fold them for you, and you'll have it. So join us, live shows are always 8 o'clock, Eastern time on our YouTube channel. Always. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are doing that in May, and then we'll see in June what we want to do. Then let's see June 7, no details yet on it, other than to say it's going to happen. So June 7, we're going to do a gold work thing with Natalie Dupuy, where she is going to give instruction, and I've never done any of it. I've yet to even hold any gold work stuff. I'm going to be the raw rookie, and she's going to give instruction just on the basic techniques, no project or anything. And so you can join for that live, and then I will be posting a list here soon of all the materials that she's going to use in the instruction, and so you can get your own. And a couple of people have emailed me stores that carry Goldwork materials. So I'll make a list of that and put that up. So if you're interested, you can order and participate along with us. And then obviously it's live, so questions, you can ask questions. But that's June 7. It's going to just, and this is just, there's no project. There's no project. If you buy the stuff, you're just buying a few lengths of different things to participate. So it's just a way to dip your toe in the water, see if you like it, and hear from someone who knows what she's doing, and you don't have an investment of a project, and then there it sits, you know, oh, I really didn't want to do it. You just buy a few threads, a few of this and that and the other thing, and participate, and then you get a chance to try it. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's June 7. Then we start Royal Garden July 5. And, oh, and Sunday, Brett Shuley from Case Creations is our guest. Had a great conversation with him.
We sure did.
Yeah, so that was fun. And a big announcement on Sunday about that, too, coming up Sunday. Yay. So I had fun on Mother's Day. I thought that was fun.
I did, too. Yes, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am still amazed. Now, you know, you're fast. You're a fast stitcher.
Well, thank you.
And I'm amazed by that. And I've been thinking about that because, I mean, I know I'm a slow stitcher. I always have been. I don't pretend to, and I don't try to be fast. I never have. I don't care. I just do it at my pace, and I'm happy with that, and that's fine. But I really thought I moved along pretty well until Sunday and discovered that I'm about half your speed, probably worse. But, you know, so
I don't try to be fast either.
No, I didn't. And that's the other part is I didn't think you were trying to really go fast.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. So it's been interesting to me. But then I also think that you've been cross-stitching since, you know, before God. And and I haven't. You know, because I was doing needlepoint.
Yeah.
So I think there's some of that. I think there's some of that where a lot of the stitch path and so on and so forth is just so second nature to you after, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of projects.
Yeah.
And stitches, that there's probably just an inherent element of speed there.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I honest to heaven do not think about like, oh, let's try to, I'm really going to like bam this out of here. I'm working fast. I think it's just a, you know, because I knew that you were like shocked about it and I thought I wasn't going that fast. And I really didn't think I was going fast to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, anyways, I think that what it is that, I think that when you stitch as much as what I have stitched, it's kind of second nature. You're like what you say, it's kind of second nature, but you know, I have come up with my own set of tips or techniques or things that I know that works for me. And I think that truly it does help speed up the thing. Although I'm not doing it for that reason, you know what I mean? I'm not doing it to be fast. But I do think it speeds it up, and I stitch in a way that a lot of times I did it this weekend, and I do it, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it, but I kind of have like a modified sewing technique, and so I think that does help, because I only have, for each X, I only pull twice. You see what I'm saying? I only pull the thread twice. So,
for instance, you go up and down for that first leg and then you pull?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually go down and up. So like the needle's on top of the linen, I go down through the linen, I go up to the other corner and then pull up through the linen.
Hmm.
And that lays the last, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I go down, so it lays a leg. So I go down, up, you know, down, over, up, down, over, up. That's how I do it. So it's like a modified sewing technique, but I'm not sewing, I'm stabbing.
Now, see, that's interesting, because I can see how that, because, see, I do, like, I go, I mean, I, for instance, starting at the bottom, underneath, I come up all the way, pull it tight, then go down all the way, pull it tight, then up, then down. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 moves.
Yeah.
And so you got it effectively cut to 4.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, see, that's interesting, because I do not like that sewing method. I've said it 100 times. I don't like it because I think it drags the thread through the linen too much and frays it.
And I will say that what I do, what I told you I do sometimes, that does cause a lot of friction on thread, and you will fuzz up. That's why I always work with shorter lengths. Now, I won't say that I always do that, but I do that a lot. I don't realize I'm doing it, and then I'll like catch myself, and I'm like, oh, I'm doing that again. And I just started doing that because, well, I started doing it 14 years ago when my shoulder and wrist started hurting. And I started teaching myself how to stitch two-handed. And so, yeah, I just started doing that, and it works. But I always have the extra thread on top of the fabric, not underneath it. So I go.
So then you're not going to create a knot then.
Right, underneath.
You'll see it coming before it knots.
Yes. But you can't pull real tight on that, because that's one of the reasons where that's stitching in that manner can really cause a tension issue if you don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And so I try to pay very heavy attention to how hard I'm pulling when I do that.
Right.
Because you do have to pull a little bit more to get it through two holes at the same time.
Yeah.
But you've got to. You know, I know when to stop, I guess.
And that doesn't put a drag on the previous stitch.
No, I don't feel like it does. Sometimes if it's very heavy, you know, like fully cross stitched, then I don't do that. I'll go. But if it's a line, you know, you have a blank, you know, you're doing a top of a motif, and as you're stitching down, you know, there's always an empty line below it. Right. I will do it then. But if it's like in the middle of a motif where I have like a line, it's, you know, or something, then I don't do it, because it will drag. It will distort the other stitches.
Yeah.
But I don't do that one then. But I don't think about it. You know what I mean? It's not like something like I consciously think about. I just do it. I just find myself doing it. And so I think that you're right. I think it's just that I've stitched so much and so many things that I just kind of know me, and I know what works for me, and I go with it. But I think it's interesting to note too that if people don't know how I stitch, I have a video that says Vonna's stitching technique. And, you know, I go point down, eye up through the linen down with the point of my needle, and then up through the linen with the eye of my needle. I never turn my needle, so therefore my threads don't twist. I don't have to railroad. They'll lay side by side. And I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, I do. I have noticed that there's several people, and I always get this, and I don't comment on this because, you know, I shared that after people asked me to share that technique. And I always have people that detractors of the technique. Like, well, it splits. I tried it and it splits the thread, and I don't think it's faster. And it didn't work for me. And it this and that. And it splits. I always hear it splits the thread. Well, it splits the thread because you're not, you know, you don't have like experience with it. If you have experience with it, you know how to manipulate it to where you won't split. I never have split threads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I've done it that. I mean, I just have stitched that way. So, you know.
Well, your technique, see, you know, I've used your technique, and I've used it a lot. And it, when you have two strands working, your technique, I think, is superior.
Well, thanks.
And that's just because then I don't have to railroad.
No, you don't.
Because otherwise I railroad, because I want those stitches laying side by each. Mm-hmm. No, yours is a much more effective approach when I'm doing two strands. But then when I go to one strand, which is, you know, 90% of the time, then I just revert back to point up, mm-hmm. point down.
And you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've stitched that way for so many years. You know, it was by accident that I found it. I'm not saying I came up with it, because I know there's a lot of people that stitch that way. You know, as people find out that's how I stitch, they'll say, well, I've always stitched that way, or I was taught to stitch that way, or whatever. I'm not saying yeah. that I came up with it. I'm just saying I found out about it on my own through an accident.
Right.
And so when you're stitching,
it was new to you when you discovered you could do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I thought that was a fantastic, I had like really created fire there.
Yeah.
But, whenever I stitch with needlepoint, of course, I can't stitch like that. I mean, I unwittingly, without thinking about it, will try it. You know, I'll start it and I'll think, oh my, you know, I'll ram the end of the needle yeah. through my finger because I can't push it through the canvas.
Yeah, it doesn't work real well with those bigger needles. No.
No. And it'll be like, whoa, wait a minute. We're not cross stitching. We're doing needlepoint. And I will say that stitching the way I stitch on cross stitch is less wear on my wrist, because mm-hmm. when I have, you know, I've been doing a lot of needlepoint now, and I have to turn the needle every time, right? Every time I have to turn the needle, and my right wrist, which is my worst wrist, it's been hurting.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I think that's another thing that is beneficial for people that have like arthritis in their wrist or their fingers like me, that, you know, have, you know, constant repetitive motion issues, that not turning your needle is another thing that helps on less motion, you know, less repetitive, because I don't have to do anything. I just move up and down, you know, because I'm stitching two-handed. I don't have to turn or twist or
right.
rotate my anything. And I have noticed that my wrist has been hurting in the end of the evening. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of needlepoint. So yeah. Anyways, there you go.
Yeah. Well, it's just all very interesting to me, because, I was really surprised Sunday, especially after that first 45 minutes. Cause I had a major knot problem. And mm-hmm. so I lost a good 10 minutes getting that straightened out. But then still, you were so far ahead. But then the rest of the afternoon, I did not have any difficulties whatsoever stitching. I just sat there and stitched, yet you continued to get further ahead. And, you know, we both took a minute and went to the bathroom, that kind of thing. But, mm-hmm. You really gained on me. And so I thought, what is it? Cause I'm not trying to race, but I'm also not diddling here. I'm stitching right along. What is going on? So that's interesting, because you basically are doing half of the motions for every stitch that I am.
Yes.
And see, that's significant.
Yes, and I think that's another reason why I don't split my threads.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only have half the motions, and I go down and up. I don't have to go down and then whip my thread around somehow and come back up. You know, even if I'm not turning my needle, I can sometimes split my threads if I'm not paying attention, but I've done it so many, I know how to hold my thread.
Right.
But anyways, yes, I think that, cause I always keep my thread to one side. So it's just down and up, down and up, down, you know, down, up, pull. And that's how I stitch. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah. That's, I was thinking about that too, when you said, cause I noticed too, man, I really did like kept on adding on. And I don't think people knew this, but I mean, not that I was sitting there staring at you, and I know you weren't sitting there staring at me, but I could see you and I could tell that you were stitching. You weren't like messing around.
Right.
And I think that's what it was. I was thinking, why did I get so, cause I, like I said, I was not going to like, I'm going to like smoke your pants off. You know, I wasn't doing that. I was just stitching. And people have always said that I'm fast, but I don't feel like I am, really. You know, if I could sit down and stitch all the time, maybe crank out projects all the time, maybe, you know, people would really be impressed with how fast I am. I don't know. But I don't feel like I'm that fast. Yeah. I just am stitching, you know.
Well, I mean, some people are always going to be inherently faster just regardless, you know, mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I stitch at the pace that I stitch. It's what makes me comfortable. It's mm-hmm. what gives me the level that I want. And I, you know, I don't worry about it. I don't think about it.
Yeah.
But you were so much faster. You put in so much more that it really had me thinking there's got to be more to it than just sheer speed. And
I think, yeah. You know, I think that loading up your needles, you know, these.
See,
this
I did
is
that.
What, yeah, you did that too. You know? I mean, you do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what that has to be what it is that I kind of do like a modified sewing stitch.
Yeah, and,
you
it's
know,
worth it. It's worth trying. Yeah, it's worth trying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we do everything the same. You know, I had needles loaded up. I didn't have to go find threads and separate them and do all that. I'd already done all that, and we both do all the same prep work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the actual stitching is there was a huge difference. So mm-hmm. yeah,
and I think too that your backs are probably neater than mine. I mean, I try to. I don't drag and stuff, but I probably drag a few more stitches than what you drag probably.
Yeah, I probably do. Yeah.
I know I do. And, I don't drag, I try not to drag more than two or three. That's probably my upper limit, but there's sometimes I feel like some, my backs can be, but I don't care about that. You know what I mean? I especially don't care about it after I've seen all these antique samplers that we've been exposed to over the last year. And I see how those kids stitched or those people stitched. And I think, why am I worrying about this? That my goal is not to have the best back on the face of the earth. It really isn't. Mine is to have the best front that I feel like I can make.
Yeah.
You know, that's what my goal is. I don't care what the back looks like. As long as you can't see it from the front, I don't care.
Yeah.
And, but we're both starting and stopping on the front.
Right.
You know, I don't turn. You know, I don't know. There's just, I think it probably was the modified.
It certainly is. Yeah. That I got to give that a try now. But then I will admit that I will sit like when I start a new thread,
mm-hmm.
I was not doing much of that Sunday because I was trying to see if I could keep up with you. And then about halfway through the afternoon, it's like, well, that's pointless. When I start a new thread, I will pause for, a moment, 30 seconds or so, and I will mentally map out where I'm going with that thread.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah. And no, I know you don't. Yeah. But I do. I do. I say, all right, I'm going to go here and here, and I'm going to stitch half stitches down this leg and come back, and then I'm going up here, and so I'll have a plan for that length of thread.
Yeah, no.
And then execute it, because I do that. So I know some time is used up doing that, but that's just the way I do it.
Right.
And, because like if there's a long leg of just at an angle, then, you know, I figure out, all right, well, here I'm gonna do a half stitch in the main body. That'll give me my target to come back. Then mm-hmm. I'm going to go down that angle, half stitches, come back. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I map that all out ahead of time.
Yeah. See, I do that, but I don't map it out ahead of time. I just start stitching and then think, oh, boy, I got to go down there. Yeah. I'm going to go, you know, half stitches down there and then half stitches back. And then I go, I don't like set and think, okay, now I'm going to do this and I'm going to go down here and I'm going to do, I don't do that. I just start stitching. And then when I get to that situation, then I make a decision. Like, am I going to end it or do I do this or whatever? So. That's how I've always kind of flying by the seat of my pants on stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think about that more than what I used to think about it, or I feel like I do, but I don't like sit and like think, oh gosh, now what, where am I going? I don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and I do that. And I'll say, all right, I'm going to go here, here, and here, and I'm going to end the thread here, regardless of how much is left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stitch to that, and I'll say, you know, all right, I'm just going to end it, throw that away, and start over here because I'm going to start clean over here, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to try and map out some way to get over there. So I go through that mental process, and you know, I'm sure in the course of an hour, you know, that probably sucks up 5 minutes worth of time, but that's just the way I do it, so I don't care.
Right? No, and I mean, you have beautiful, and I think that that's the whole thing, too. There's, you know, I think that people worry about that kind of stuff a lot, like, oh, I'm not as fast as X, Y, and Z, and boy, ABC is really faster than me, and how does that happen, and, you know, here is EFG, and what are they doing, you know, they're not, I think people, I don't worry about that stuff, you know, I really don't, I just go, and I do it, but, you know, there was an interesting kind of discussion on my Instagram when I posted something, I think it was Hannah Longstreth, when I posted where I ended up on Mother's Day, and it was about linen, you know. It was about, you know, that here I see these people using, I see that you're one, and I see other people using all these hoops and Q snaps and stands, and I just don't understand. Does that make it easier to see higher count linen, or is that, you know, what is up with all that? I was taught to stitch in hand, and that was told that, you know, stitching in hand is the best way to do it because hoops and Q snap, you know, hoops distort the linen, and that's not good. You don't use anything for your stitching, and, you know, here we go. And this woman didn't mean it in that way. This person did not mean it hateful in any stretch of the imagination. But here we go again with rules. You know what I mean? Right. All these rules. There are no rules. You know, just do, if you're stitching in hand and it's working for you, great.
Do it.
Keep stitching in hand. Who cares about a hoop? If you're doing it that way, you know, who cares if somebody else is using a hoop? You know, just do it the way you're doing it and the way you were taught. And now, do I think that hoops distort the linen? I guess, yes, they can if you don't put it on right. But for the most part, to me, I feel like linen makes our hoops, our Q snaps, our scroll rods, or whatever you're going to use, helps maintain the squareness of a linen. It helps keep the tension, you know, makes me a better stitcher because it creates a foundation where, you know, it's equal, and I can, you know, if it's not going to be maintained equally, it's my fault, not the linen's fault or whatever, you know, it's my stitches. And, you know, I just think that everybody has a way that they were taught. Everybody has a way that they prefer to stitch. And that's good. That's not bad. That's, you know, differences is what makes the world go round. And that's, we got to quit. You know, there's like all these rules applied to, it's not just cross stitching. It's every hobby, you know, like there's people that come in the quilt shop and, oh, well, they would never quilt with that kind of thread. Are you nuts? They would never do this, you know? And it's like, I just always just like laugh because it's like I see that in the cross stitch world. I see that in the quilting world. I see that in the seamstress world when they're making, like, you know, clothing. Oh, I would never use that type of pin tuck. I would do this, you know? It's like, you know, it's just like, whatever, do what, you know, we're all getting a good product at the end. Then just do what you're doing. Love what you do you, and I'll do me. That's what I always want to say. And I don't mean that hateful in any stretch of the imagination. What I mean this as is encouragement to anybody that's listening that your way is right. Don't let anybody tell you that your way is not right. If you're getting a beautiful end product, that's right. And keep on doing you because you're doing it right and you're doing what you love. And we got to quit like applying rules to everything. Or, I mean, that's one of my goals is I'm not applying rules to anybody, to anything. Right. You know, when I get finishing, that's one of the things that people always say, do you finish Ada? That I get that question. Can I use your finishing tutorials for things that are stitched on Ada? Well, why couldn't you? That's what, why couldn't you? Yeah, you can. And, you know, or do you finish for people that stitch on Ada? Yes. Why wouldn't I? You know, it's you're not a third class citizen if you use Ada, you know? And I don't understand that. It's like an embarrassment. And I feel like there's, you know, and I've talked about this before, but it just makes my heart sad that people think stuff like that, you know, that you would think that Ada's not as good as something else. And it's all, I've seen beautiful things. My Jesus is stitched on
Ada. That's the one.
Yep. And I don't think that there is any project that I have done that is more beautiful than Jesus. I really don't. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a Christian and I love him. I'm just saying that that project as a project is the most beautiful project my hands have ever wrought, and it was done on Ada.
Yep.
And you know,
well, that's the one. That's the one I will point to every single time.
Yeah.
You know, Ada. Yeah, you go look at that. Go look at Vanna's pictures of the Jesus thing, and you tell me Ada isn't a legitimate ground cloth. I don't want to hear about it, because that thing is stinking beautiful, and it has all the shading, all the things that it's supposed to have, and it's done on Ada. So, it's, I mean, to me, that's your prototype example right there of right. why not. Yep.
Right. And, you know, I'll say this about myself. I have, you know, since we've gone to Sassy Jack's and I get to see this high count linen and yada, yada. And I see you, you know, you influence me by when you go to the attic and you show me the little stitch Jane Marshall or whatever it was on 3 inches, you know, 3 inch Jane Marshall. And I think, you know, how cute it is and stuff like that. And I think, oh, I got to stitch on the higher count. I'm going to tell you right now, I can stitch on 40. I can stitch on 45. I've even stitched on 50, but I think that I don't enjoy stitching as much on those higher counts, like 45 and up, as I do just stitching on 40 and below. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I really don't. And I'm kind of struggling with Hannah. And it doesn't have anything to do with the, you know, with me or the threads or the linen. Or I feel like I just am struggling a little bit with this 45 count on that we're stitching Hannah on. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I think the weave is a little bit tight. I do think that it's a tighter weave.
Oh, it is. Think, well, yeah, it's definitely a tighter weave. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a tighter weave, and I'm having a problem seeing the holes. And I did notice on Sunday, where I was stitching on Sunday, was in our front room, our office in the patriotic room. And there's two windows right there. And, you know, I felt like I could see it. It was not giving me a problem on Sunday. And I think it's because of all the light.
Yeah.
And even though I was using, you know, I use an LED magnifying lamp everywhere, but, you know, sometimes you don't get the right, even with that, I feel sometimes there's not enough light or there's something. In the evening, maybe my eyes are tired in the evening. I don't know. But, you know, I kept on thinking, oh, I got to stitch on higher, higher and higher and higher and higher count, because all the, you know, all the sophisticated girls do. And I want to be a sophisticated girl, you know. And so I'm just going to have to realize that, you know, I'm not a sophisticated girl. Because I think that I prefer 40 and below. And that little house project that I've done a lot on the quarantine hour, you know, I thought that was 28 count, but I think it's 25 count. And I'm enjoying the heck out of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just easy. It looks pretty.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be fabulous when it's done too. But, you know, it's just. You know, whatever floats your boat, you just be happy. You know, I just think that we apply too many rules and try to be like everybody else. And, you know, you're great. That's what my daughter always tells me. Katie's been telling me this since she's lived with me for the last 6 weeks. Now she'll be living with me until she gets married, probably. And, which she's not.
Let's have a moment. Let's have a moment for Katie. Yeah. All right. Just a moment.
And she goes, I'll say something derogatory about myself. And she goes, how many times do I have to tell you? Go to the mirror and you look at yourself and you go, I am fabulous. I am beautiful. I am smart. And she tells me that every day. She'll say that. I'm a good mother. And she goes, you're great. You know, and she'll tell me to say stuff like that. And I always laugh. And I think, you know, I always laugh at that. But I also want to just say, I'm just glad that I raised a self-confident person as she is, because you know, she has her hang-ups too, but that's great that she can look at her mother and say, you go to the mirror and you say, I'm good. I'm great. You know? Because she must do that to herself. She goes, I do that every day. I tell myself that I'm good and I'm enough and I'm smart enough and I can do this. And so, yeah. So if you have to do that, Ada stitchers or low count stitchers or whatever you want to tell yourself, just look in the mirror and say, I'm enough. I'm a good stitcher. I don't care what I'm stitching on Ada. It's going to be beautiful, because it will be beautiful.
Right. Yeah, see, and you're right about the rules. I mean, the only rules you should have are the ones you set for yourself.
Right.
That's the only rules you should have. But see, for me, these kinds of discussions are valuable, not that I want to stitch like Vanna. because I have no interest in that. You know, we do it different. We do a lot of things the same, but we do it different. But I'm looking for what little things can I take from you,
right,
that will improve my process.
Yeah.
Or what things can I try and decide if that is good for me or not? Yes. And if it is good for me, it'll stick.
Right.
But
yes.
Yeah. I'm just picking your, you know, I just want to pick your brain. You know, what little things do you do? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, now I'll try that. So like, I'll try this method that you're using because I see two benefits. One, it seems to be faster, but really that one isn't the one that is sticking in my head. What's sticking in my head is having the loose thread on top. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to be concerned about if a knot formed underneath.
That's exactly right.
And see, to me, that's infinitely more valuable than speed.
Right. And another thing is, now there's going to be, I'm going to tell you what the cons are about stitching with how I told you to stitch here, is that it does wear your thread.
And see, I'm going to struggle with that. Yeah.
It does wear your thread, especially if you stitch needle down, eye up, point down, eye up. It does wear your thread. That's how come I do that. You know, I fold the thread in half and I start and I, you know, every 3 or 4 stitches, I move my needle. That's why.
Right.
Is because, you know, it's less of a wear if you switch where your eye of your needle is down the length of the thread.
Right.
So it does wear that. It does wear the thread more. And the tension, you can have a tension issue. So you have to pay attention to that. And the only reason I know that is because I got dinged at the fair and it was like, they, you know, the lady goes, why are you having this tension issue? Well, I know why. And it was because I was pulling too hard and I was doing that sewing technique. I mean, that's why. I didn't realize it now, but as you know, I've gained experience and, you know, had a lot of avenues open to me and have researched and stuff. That's why. So you have to pay attention to that. But other than that, I don't think that there's a less of a chance of having a knot because your extra thread is always on top. So you can see it before it happens, right? It's going to happen on the top. It won't happen on the bottom.
Well, and that's just it. If it's going to happen on the top, you'll see it before it happens.
Before it happens.
Right.
And so that's a pro of it. It is faster, I believe, probably. And and I think for me, it's less repetitive motion. And I have to be I sound like I'm 80 years old, but I mean, I really.
I was going to go with 90, but well, you can go 80 if you want. That's all right. Yeah.
I have to be really careful. I mean, I know that that's crazy that I have to think about it like that, but I really do. I have to think because I'll be in bed some nights. You know, I wear braces and my wrist will be aching so much that I can't fall asleep. That's how much it hurts. And so I just have to be aware of that kind of stuff, of how I'm turning and stuff like that. And that's another point that I wanted to say, is because then you get shamed about, well, you're using a hoop and you have all this and wouldn't it be cheaper? All you need is needle and thread in your hands and that's in your linen and that's it. And it's so much cheaper. I don't have all my paraphernalia because I like to spend money. I have all the paraphernalia that I have because I'm trying to make it easier for me to do what I love, and I have an issue with my physical hands and a physical issue, and I have to have those things in order to do what I love. Yep. It's not because I like to spend money or see what the newfangled thing is. It's not that at all. It's because I have to have it if I'm going to do what I love. So the whole like shaman thing, you know, because there's kind of that kind of thing too, shaman. Like, well, you have all this and I can't do that and I can't afford that and all that stuff. Well, you know, I'm sorry, you know, that if you feel like that, I have all this stuff and then I've just blown all my money. I haven't. First of all, I've accumulated it over, you know, 30 years. Yeah. And then second of all.
Yeah, I'm that not always needs to be kept in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't an overnight purchase.
No. I mean, I've earned all of it. I've worked for all of it. And this is my one thing, you know, this and fingernails, you know, which I'm losing all my fingernails.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
It sucks, to tell you the truth. And they're just now taking appointments only. And I called to my shop And we can't get in until next Friday. I am so over these fingernails. And, you know, I've had the acrylic nails for basically my whole entire adult life. So it's like, oh my goodness, this stinks. But anyways, fingernails and cross stitch.
Now there's a first world problem if I ever heard it.
Fingernails and pedicures and cross stitch are the only thing that I do. I don't go get my hair cut or colored or any of that stuff. And so anyways, that's my thing. And, you know, cross stitching is my deal. It's my jam. And I'm going to do whatever I can to so that I can do it comfortably. And when you're told by a doctor to stop because the issue that you have is because you're doing something too much, it's something that you love too much, and quit doing it, you're soon going to find out a way to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because if you love it as much as I love it, and I know that everybody does that's listening, you love it that much. So why wouldn't you do whatever you can do to keep doing it, you know? So that's how I feel about it. I feel like there's also this kind of like shaming if you have hoops and scrolls and this and that. And there shouldn't be shaming, you know, I don't feel like.
Well, it's, you know, everybody has their way to do it. And to me, there wouldn't be all of these devices if there weren't everybody wanting to do it their way.
Right.
You know, it would just be a hoop, or you would just do it in hand. But everybody has a different way, and you have physical reasons. I just want something to hold the thing I'm stitching for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit there and hold it, and I don't like that. Bring my hand to the top, put it underneath, bring it down to the bottom. I just hate that. I want something to hold it so I can have two hands working, and that's what makes me comfortable. And so then I will do what it is that holds that piece the way I want it, where I want it, so I can stitch the way I want. And but then, yeah, I mean, you and I both could list six people right now, starting with Nicole Neville, who do just absolutely stunning work in hand.
Right.
And do a ton of it, and do it fast, and do it very effectively. And do it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I could name 100 people probably that does it in hand and have fantastic work and does it just like as, you know, faster than what I am, you know. Yep. And but to me, it's not about speed. It really isn't about speed.
It's about not having your wrists hurt.
It's not about having my wrist hurt. Exactly. And, you know, and I don't think it's about speed really for Nicole. I don't think she sets out to be that fast.
No. She just is.
Yeah, she is a process stitcher. I followed her, have been friendly with her for years. She is not all about getting it done so she can hang it on the wall. She puts them in the tub. Most of them's in a tub. And I haven't done it here recently. Like, throw it in the tub. Every time she'd get one done, I'd say, throw it in the tub. That's what I'd leave in the comments, because that's what she did. Throw them in a tub. And she just is a process stitcher.
Yep.
And you know, and that's great. That's like a crossword puzzle solver. You know what I mean? They're doing it because they want to solve the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's awesome. I don't know what kind of stitcher I am. I'm a starter and a non-finisher. Here recently, that's all I've done is started a lot of stuff.
Well, but you've gone in a different vein, because there forever you stitched so you could finish.
Yeah, I did.
You just, you know, get me through this thing so that I can finish it.
Yeah.
Because you have some look in mind and you want to execute that.
Yes.
And then now that you've been doing bigger things, then you can't do that next week.
No. And I think that you're right. I've changed focus on a lot of things. You know, I just want to, it's like, I want to try this, I want to try this, I want to try this. And now I've got to quit trying stuff because I've got to get something finished somewhere. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just that I want to try this, I want to try. And then, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm doing that. I'm doing Debbie's, her thing on her blog, her free cross needlepoint thing. And as I'm stitching it, I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this? You know, how am I going to finish this? I don't want to like frame everything. I want to leave, you know, not that her design is not spectacular. It is. But what I'm saying is I want the spectacular of the spectacular, you know, the most spectacular save to be hung on my wall, because I've got a lot of cross stitching on my wall, a lot of needlework on my wall. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, I'm kind of out of my league with needlepoint because I don't know necessarily what to do with needlepoint. And I'm not a pillow person. You know, I don't want a bunch of pillows, you know?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, I probably could do a flat fold. I probably could do this. You know, I've been thinking about what am I going to do besides framing as I'm stitching? Cause that's, you know, that's the thing that I do.
Right. But for something like that project, to me, the only end is to throw it in the drawer, because it's the experience that you gain doing that. And right. then the next time you encounter it, if nothing else, it's a sampler. You haul it out right. and go, oh, yeah, I remember how I did that. And you flip it over and go, oh, yeah, that was where I really got stupid. I need to not do that. And so right. to me, that's the value of that. And if it never sees the light of day again, who cares? Because it's the experience that you got out of it that really right. matters.
Right. And I have let me just say, I have learned a lot doing Debbie's thing. Her, yeah. I really have, because I had never done a waffle stitch. I learned how to do that. And let me tell you, there's how many in there? There's eight waffle stitches in there. And I bet you I did every one of them at least twice mm-hmm. because I would miss I'd miss a leg of it somehow, get off somehow. Yeah. And, so anyways, yes, I have learned a lot by doing that. By doing hers. And you're right. I don't think of it like that. You're right. Why do I need to finish it in anything?
Who cares? Who cares?
Just put it in a drawer.
Yeah.
Right. You're because, right. That's exactly yeah. right.
Because the next time a waffle stitch comes up, what's the first thing that's going to pop in your head?
I'm going to remember, you better keep on counting, right?
yep.
And pay attention to where your thread is and which hole you're going and which side you're going. Yes, that's what I'll think.
Right. And see, then the end result of that is that project now has value.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because I never thought of it that way. Because, see, I'm always thinking about what I'm going to do with something
right.
because that's the finisher in me. And you're right. I don't have to do anything with it. I can just put it in a drawer.
You use stash. You use stash to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you ended up with a beautiful set of colors. I mean, it's really working well. But mm-hmm. who cares? Absolutely, who cares?
Yeah.
And someday along the way, you know, there might be a thing where you say, hey, I've got that piece. And if I did that, finished it this way, I could use it for this. And you haul right. it out and use it. But who cares? Yeah.
Right. And I need to remember that about this gold work basket that I'm doing too, because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, I'm really trying hard to do that good. And I don't feel very good about it. And then I read comments, like I've said that on my Instagram, I'm not knowing that I'm doing this very good, but I'm just going with it. And people are like, it looks great. And the people that apparently do gold work said, well, it looks great to me. Everything you're doing, it looks perfect and blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like that. It's probably because I'm just out of my, you know, league on that a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the first time I've done it. I will say I feel pretty good about executing it, because like I said, there's, you know, you have to really read through the discussion on the EGA board. The actual pattern, although very well written and you know exactly what you need to do, it doesn't go into like how do you start a gold work thread, you know, how do you anchor that
mm-hmm.
on, you know, it doesn't really discuss that. It really doesn't discuss necessarily couching technique. It just tells you kind of like, this is what you're stitching with and this is the pattern, go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been a struggle, and I've gone back and read through, you know, like, and there's been very good discussion on the board, and the teacher is very, will answer, you know, fully and give ideas on where you can look or tips or hints, and that's great. And I'm late to the starting block on this one, because it's been going for a year. It's going to be done, you know, in like the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't feel good about it. And then that one lady she, God bless her, she wrote me a nice email after she listened to us last week, I think, about the gold basket. You know, I said, she's already got that whole thing done. She started after me. Well, anyway, she wrote me, hers is beautiful. And she's never done it before either. She just did it because I posted about it. And hers is gorgeous. And, you know, I just think, gosh, mine doesn't look as good as hers, I don't feel like. And then here I go back to my own rules. Why am I comparing myself to somebody else? Right. I need to do what I love, and I'm learning. But what I'm trying to get at is I've thought about this gold work basket. What am I going to do with this once I'm done? Will I frame this? Should I frame it? I don't think it's good enough to be framed. Well, you're right. Just throw it in a drawer, and then I can remember this is what it is.
Yep.
You know, I learned this. Do I want to do this again? I don't know. I don't know that I enjoy it. I mean, there's elements of it that I do enjoy it, but it is kind of working with gold wire is kind of persnickety. It's kind of like a pain in the neck a little bit. Because it's kind of hard.
What Mary Corbett said to me one time when I asked her about gold work, she said it's really not difficult, but it's just tedious.
Yes.
And if you're willing to be tedious, you will get it. It'll work. But she says there's nothing really particularly difficult about it.
No.
And you've underscored that. So then it's just tedious. All right. Well, yeah. For some people, that's appealing. But see, I look at that basket, that gold work basket, in terms of what are you going to do with it? Again, there's different techniques in there.
Yeah.
So when you get done with that, whether you finish it or not,
mm-hmm.
will one of those techniques stand out and say, hey, I think I'd like to go try, you know, a project that uses more of this?
Yeah. Doing that queen sampler, even though we're only still stuck on what, band four?
Yeah.
We're not very far along on that. But I will say this, just what we have done on that queen sampler has translated to everything that I've picked up since then.
Mm-hmm.
And in this gold work basket, there is double running stitch, double running back stitch. What's in the queen? And I was like, I know exactly what that is. I don't even have to look at that diagram because I know what that is.
Yep.
Because we did it. And then long arm cross stitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We did that too. Yep. I didn't have to look at that diagram either because I did it, a lot of it, in the queen stitch in one of, you know, in several of the bands that we've already done.
Right.
So, I mean, so there you go, people. Everything has, when you just step out a little bit out of the box, that's going to translate in so many ways to other projects and will help you. And you're exactly right. I don't have to do anything with it. I can finish it, put it in a box, and that's it if I want to. If I feel like it's really great, maybe I'll frame it. You know, I don't know. And I don't really have that much money wrapped up into that. I mean, I had to pay for the class, and I think that was like, I don't know, $50. And then the kit was like $100. I think it was like $130 total. To me, that's not that much money for a class and a kit that contains gold wire and like 6, 7, 8 silks. I think that's like
pretty good.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have just learned so much in the last 2 years about stuff and about stitching. It's just really opened a whole new world to me. I just enjoyed doing everything. I had one of our listeners last week when I said that I something about Brazilian embroidery, she sent me 3 Brazilian embroidery small little kits and a book on it last week. Just so, because she wants, and so thank you, Patty, for doing that. She did that, and I thought, gosh, how nice. That is so nice. And she sent it you know, like overnight priority, which I was like, what? You know, why do that? But she did it. And I mean, I want to try that. I really do. Because I said, I guess, in some show that we were in last week, somewhere, something about Brazilian embroidery, because that intrigues me too. So anyways.
Well, but that's just it. What are the variations all around the world? And then how much Brazilian stuff do we see at all? Well, unless you seek it out, none.
None.
So now, like on one of the live shows, now I want to see what that's all about because you have me curious.
Yeah.
You know, because what does that look like? What's involved in that technique? And another one that sits in the back of my head all the time is the needlework they do in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a whole different world from what I've been able to pick up on, a whole different world of techniques and styles and designs. What's that all about?
Is that a sissy embroidery?
No, you just went way over my head right there. Got me.
I think it is maybe there is an Assisi embroidery, but anyways, yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of, I mean, there's, I would love to do Schwalm work. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times I went to the EGA correspondence course thing that, you know, they have a correspondence course going right now on Schwalm white work. And I think, I should do that. And then I think, you can't do one more thing, you know, shut up. Turn it off. Walk away.
But that's beautiful stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know,
Luzine Hoppel there, the stuff she does is amazing.
Right. I mean, and all of this has been, I would never have known. I was just happy in my little cross-stitch world. You know, I was just not even thinking about stuff like this, and I would not have even had anything like any of this that we're talking about opened unless I hadn't started watching or listening to Fiber Talk. I mean, Fiber Talk has opened my eyes. And so way beyond the Friday Night Lives or the Quarantine Stitch Hour, the value of Fiber Talk in the podcast is just a wealth of information. It's just a whole new world. It's like cracking open a treasure trove, a Pandora's box of possibilities, you know?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, that's the goal, is exactly that. And, mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of the different techniques in different parts of the world, we've really only scratched the surface, and it's been 3 years and 300 plus episodes. And still there's so much more that can be explored and shown that people just don't even know about. You know, I just kind of have a mental list, and mm-hmm. right now, Eastern Europe, Russia, and all that area is right near the top, because there's some of the work I see from over there is just amazing. It's just, and it has such a different style and look to it, and it's amazing.
And where are they learning it from?
Right.
That's what I'm, you know, where are they learning it? Because it seems like, you know, I don't know, I've never been to Russia, but it seems like, you know, it's cold there and they're isolated. You know? Where are they learning this from? You know, so I mean, that's, you know, in Japanese, if you follow white work, there's Japanese people that do tremendous white work, tremendous embroidery. Yep. And it's just, you know, Trish Bird, that's another thing. I want to learn how to do what she does. Everything that she does looks like it could fly, hop, skip, charge off of the linen. I mean, it looks real. I want to learn about that too. So there's just so much. I hope I live a long time, because I got a lot of stuff I got to learn yet.
Yep. Yeah, she's something else. She really is. All right. That's enough.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll go start another project. So, okay.
Or talk myself into one.
That's right. All right. Brett Shulley from Case Creation is Sunday. Join us for our live shows Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.